You. All right, guys, wake up and lean in because we're about to punch your brand right through its comfort zone. I'm sitting here with Jean-Pierre, or JP, as I love to call him, the guy who wrote Think Blank, the field manual for winning customers in less time than it takes to scroll past a cat video. If you missed the last episode, we went through tenets one and two of the book. JP is going to go over those quickly, but today we're diving into three and four. Before we get started, I want to thank Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Dr. Bradley Nelson for your sponsorship. And to our fans, our listeners, please do not forget to like and subscribe. It is really good to see you again, JP.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. It's great to have this conversation.
Yes, I'm so excited. I've been like dying to hear about tenets three and four from your voice. The voice behind Think Blank. How are you doing before we get started?
Fantastic. It's a holiday Monday here in Canada. So it's a beautiful day, beautiful summer day. So it's great. It's nice to be able to relax.
Yeah, I can feel that coming from you. You're so chill today. I just love it.
Yeah. That's all the wine.
Oh, you just told everyone your secrets.
Yeah, that's great. In French,
Yeah.
we love wine. Yes.
Beautiful. So we went over tenets one and two last time we spoke. Can you remind everyone what those are? And then I would love to jump into tenets three and four.
Great. Lisa, tenet one and two. Tenet one is really about the foundation that emotions matter, that consumers buy emotionally. 80% of all buying decisions are done in our subconscious and emotionally driven. And it's kind of the foundation for the concept of Think Blank. And tenet two is about creating these shortcuts using visuals. Consumers shop through visuals. We process visuals much quicker than we process words and other forms of communication. So it's understanding how do you distill your offering in visuals that are compelling. Even if it's not a product, it could be a service. What is the visual metaphor of that service? How do you distill that in a visual that is recognizable for your brand or for your organization? So those are the two fundamental tenets. And now I'm excited about talking about tenet three and four. And tenet three is about creating stories. As human beings, we learn through stories. If you look at how we grew up and our parents were reading books to us, or we were watching cartoons, those cartoons and books followed a very clear narrative. No matter what you watch, no matter what movie you watch or what book you read, there's a narrative. And that narrative is talking about the hero and the challenges the hero faces and how they overcome those challenges and how other things help them to overcome those challenges and ultimately what is the net result of winning that challenge. And so when we're looking at communicating who we are and what we believe in and how we bring value to the marketplace, it's important to tell that story in a narrative that people are familiar with. And that narrative is what's been passed down for centuries. I mean, it goes back to the cavemen and how they communicated. They used visuals and they used stories to share their insights down generations and generations. And so the third tenet is really about understanding that the role of creating an emotional connection is telling a compelling story. I'll give a great example. In the morning, we're you're having coffee at the office, and someone was talking about their journey into the office. The functional way would be, well, I got on the subway at this time, and I walked 5 kilometers to the office, and I made it in such time. But that's not how we articulate our journey. We say, oh, I got up, the cat was scratching the door, she woke me up early. I tried to make my breakfast, but I ran out of milk. And that delayed me to get on the train. So I missed my train, and the train I took, or the subway train I took, had too many people. I was crammed into that space. And then when I came outside, it started to rain, and I had to walk in the rain for 5 kilometers. And now I'm soaking wet, and I'm really stressed out, and this is going to be a terrible day for me. That's how we tell our stories. We don't tell them functional. We tell them through a narrative of how that impacts us and how we feel and the challenges we had. And so understanding storytelling is really important at creating that emotional connection, owning that blank factor, because people remember stories. They don't remember a lot of statistics. They don't remember a lot of communication and copy. What they remember is the story you shared with them, because that's how we've been taught since we're born. The fourth tenet is about creating context. So when you think of storytelling and we talk about the hero and the challenge, well, context is who's the hero? What's their personality? It goes beyond demographics. It looks at psychographics. It looks at behaviors. Does this person enjoy outside sports, or this person like the arts? Is this person adventurous, or this person reserved? These are all trends and factors that define who we are. And very often, marketers will look at the demographics. Well, we're going after Gen Z. Well, Gen Z, when you look at Gen Zs, there's like 20 or 30 different personas within Gen Z. So when you go going after Gen Z, you're gonna miss the mark because you haven't clearly defined the persona. And personas were created about 20 years ago when web was created, and the websites developers were saying, who are we targeting with this website? Who's gonna come and visit this website? And now it's gone beyond website development. It goes into marketing, it goes into communication. It's understanding what are the motivating factors that is driving that individual to make the connection and purchase of that individual, of that brand, or that service. And very often we focus on the functional things, but a clear definition of persona talks about the emotions, how they feel, the struggles they're having, the issues they have in their personal life, in their work life, in their family life. And defining these traits that of a persona helps us target their needs and answer their emotional needs, you know, because your emotional needs may be different than mine. But if a marketer looks at us and say, you're in the same age segment, or you're in the same social economic segment, we're going to act very differently to the offer, right? And so understanding those traits, that's a tenet number four. It's really important to define who your personas, and then how that translates to tenet number three, which is storytelling. How do you take that persona and make them into a hero? What are their challenges that you're overcoming for them?
So when you were explaining the story in the coffee room where the person just started with, I got on the train at 9, I got to the office, and then you told the story, I could picture what that would be like. And I'm like, is JP in my mind right now? Is this my life he's talking about? I was relating to it so much. And then you talked about what this person is like. So then now I'm wondering, I wonder what she has for breakfast, or I wonder what she was making, or I wonder what was in that. So how detailed does a marketer need to get to that information? Because I know so many people in the marketing world that always say, you need to target your, you need to find a target, like who is your person? How detailed do we need to get?
You need to be extremely detailed. And actually, a persona gets refined over time. And so, as you get more data and you discover their behaviors, you start amplifying and modifying and adjusting your personas because the more data you have. And we're so fortunate today because we're tracked on everything we do. We're tracked on our website views, we're tracked on how we visit stores, you know. Everything is being monitored. Amazon monitors us, you know, Apple monitors us, even though they say they don't. The reality is the device is geared to monitor you. You opt in or out if you do want to be monitored or not, or tracked. I have a Garmin watch. When I go jogging in the morning, it tracks where I go, how many kilometers. It gives me a rating of how I performed. That's how we're geared. And so we have a lot of technology that's helping us fine-tune those personas. And what was the gap in defining persona 5 years ago and now was sentiment, the emotional equity, the emotional sentiment that these target groups have. Now, with facial recognition, with voice recognition, you know, AI's providing additional data on how we feel. Today, a lot of the financial institutions in the US use sentiment analysis in their assisted channel, their phone channels. So when you're calling a bank and having a conversation with them, AI is telling that clerk, that individual on the other side of the line, is this customer have a high degree of anxiety? Are they frustrated? Because that will tell them how to react and respond to that individual, or this person feel confident, you know, and so we can talk very factual information because that's all they want. They want that soundbite and move on to the next challenge. And so sentiment analysis is now becoming prevalent, and it's helping marketers fine-tune those personas on the emotional side. Yeah, the functional side, where they shop, how often they shop, where they shop, what type of products that they purchase, what's their basket size? Those things are readily available. But how they feel when they're doing those things 5 years ago were really hard to track. And today, with the use of technology and the fact of wearable technology that we're all either a mobile device or a watch or now smart glasses, we're able to track where they're looking, what they're seeing, how they're feeling. And we see that being amplified. So the role of personas is becoming more and more critical than ever before.
Yeah, it's becoming like insanely creepy. That's my next question is how do you drip on your clients without seeming like you're creeping on them?
Well, you know, it's funny. We did a study a couple of years ago. We asked millennials and Gen Zs about privacy. We said, you
Yeah.
know, are you willing to give up information? And if you are, why would you give up that information? We found out that a lot of consumers are willing to give their information if the value they're getting in return is high. So if they feel this
That's right.
value of sharing my data is of high value, like I use Amazon, yeah, it tracks everything I buy. I see value in that because it'll tell them a reminder, you know, you should be buying this product. You bought it 6 months ago. You should be running out of it. You should think about buying it again. That's a service for tracking me, and I see
Right.
value in it, right? And so it's finding that balance between, you know, what is driving value, what we're willing to give up, and what are we getting in return for them analyzing us. But the other point that I think is really important is that when we ask consumers, you know, what's important to you? Personalization is on the rise, right? So consumers want personalized communication. If I'm going for a loan or if I'm looking to lease a car, I want that institution to view the offer to reflect me, not the norm, me, right? And so if I'm
Yeah.
being targeted for an offer, I want that offer to be curated knowing what I want, not what the market wants, what you know, the group of the segment wants, know what I want. And I want that information curated because I get bombarded with millions of messages a day. I want the right message come to me because they reflect my values. And so to do that, you know, institutions and brands need to have more information about you as an individual. Now, technology and AI allows us to customize that now more than ever before, but having the right persona and the right data and then linking that to the right story that you want to hear is now becoming even more important.
Yeah, when somebody speaks to me in my language, pinpointing things that are coming out of my brain, I feel so seen and so heard and so individual that I will give them my credit card in like a second. It's like,
Yeah.
yes, done. Like, you get me. That feeling is magic.
Well,
How,
and
like,
that's
I get it. There's tenants one, two, three, and four, but that, how, like, how do you even start?
well, you start creating a database of personas, segment personas, finding out which ones are the high value personas, the ones that are driving growth for your brand or your organization. You could be, you know, an entrepreneur with one location. You could be a pet store, you could be a vet, you could be a dentist, a doctor office. It's really important to understand who are your customers. You don't have to be a large corporation. You can start doing a sh you know, and there's ample templates for developing personas on the mark on Google. So go and download one from Google and start defining who your personas are, your target group, and finding out which ones are of high value. It's so important because as you craft your messaging and as you approach them for additional services, it's good to understand where they're coming from. Because the other value in defining personas is you demonstrate empathy for their needs, right? As you mentioned, Lisa, you recognize me, you recognize what I'm looking for, you recognize my values. I'm gonna reward you for doing that because you recognize me as an individual, not as a number. And that has value when you're trying to differentiate yourself from a sea of sameness, right? You're trying to separate yourself, no matter what business you're in, from your competitor.
Yeah. Who does this really well?
Well, obviously, a lot of the online technology companies do a great job. Apple, Amazon do an amazing job. eBay does a great job. And the banks have started now. The banks have really started. They've defined the personas. Every client that we have in the bank industry and in the consumer packaged good industry have clearly defined personas that they're going after, based on need state analysis, emotional need states, functional need states, purchase behaviors. So brands that have great value put great value in developing those personas. And so I think of the leading brands in the marketplace, they've all fine-tuning and ref and defining and leveraging technology to kind of craft those personas and refine them and refine them.
Yeah, Amazon. I love your Amazon example because I just moved into a new space. I ordered a few things, and every once in a while, I get like my new TV stand that pops up, and then it's like, you should buy this. And it's in my taste. And I'm like, oh my God, I should buy that. It's beautiful. It matched perfectly. And then it reminds me of that. So that is a beautiful example.
And then how do you, when you have that happen to you, how do you feel? What's your
Yeah.
feeling about that organization?
So seen. I'm like, you guys are amazing. I'm so individual, like that is gold. What you said about the empathy and connection, that is gold. So I'm like, I'm not looking anywhere else. I know I'm going to Amazon because they know me. They're going to show me what I need to see. That's how it makes me feel.
And it's interesting, not to digress, but I'm a sci-fi fanatic. I love sci-fi. I'm watching The Foundation and Invasion is coming out very soon on Apple TV, the season three. But what I find, why one of the things that I'm passionate about sci-fi is it really is the indicator of the future, right? And so when you think of Minority Report that was produced over 20 years ago, 20 years ago, they talked about personalization and facial recognition. We're there now. It took 20 years, but we're there now. And so I always look at sci-fi to say, what's the future of technology? And how's technology going to impact how we feel and how we get recognized as individuals? And so that's just a sideline point of interest for me.
I'm interested to hear what your prediction from 20 years from now is then.
Well, 20 years from now, we're going to be living a lot longer because technology, the biggest trend now is longevity, is people want to live
Yes.
longer. My mom's 93, still very active. She wants to be over 100. And now with technology, medication and robotic surgery technologies, we're going to live a lot longer than our predecessors, and our children are going to live longer than us. And so that's going to create a very different dynamic in the marketplace when it comes to marketing to product. They're going to be starting to pay more attention to the total life cycle of my brand, the total life cycle of my target group. What's the total life value of my customer? Because if I have them when they're children and I have them until they're 110 or 120, what's that value? That's enormous value. So marketers are going to put a lot more attention to that brand loyalty because the payoff is going to be enormous, but it's going to need to understand how those personas shift over time, how the different behaviors shift based on market dynamics, and how does the story that resonates with them change as those things happen? How do we create an emotional story that resonates with us when we're 80, when we're 90, when we're 100, 120? The story's going to be different.
Yeah, 100%. And the qual like to me, I feel like it'll be all about the quality of life through the decades, you know, like how to maintain that quality of life, how to get out of bed and not, you know, your knee not ache like crazy, and things to help that when you're down that road in that age category. So yeah, I'm beyond excited to see where AI takes marketing. I feel like we've come leaps and bounds in the past year.
Yes, and it will continue. I mean, we use AI in a lot of things we do, from research to analysis to brainstorming. So these are all technologies that are helpful. And more importantly, back to, you know, we have a chapter on chapter 7 is about future-proofing your brand. And it's all about the advent of technologies and how technology are shaping the way we do things. And we'll get to that in one of the subsequent episodes. But, you know, technology is definitely enabler. There's a lot of anxiety about job replacement, but the reality is going to allow us to be more efficient as marketers in how we target and speak to our personas, our customer segments.
Give us a little teaser into the rest of the tenants, but
Well,
don't
the
give too
next,
much.
okay, well, the next two that we're going to talk about, one is the foundation of a book I wrote 15 years ago on belonging experience. And so social media has created a huge growth of belonging. We belong to, you know, you're on LinkedIn in different groups, you're on, you know, you share Instagram images and you're on Facebook, you're sharing to different groups. So our self-image is all about reflecting the communities we join and share. And we just completed a big study on community for the banking industry. And community is driving loyalty more than the services and products those institutions provide. And it's a growing segment. I mean, when I wrote the book 15 years ago, belonging was just starting. And today it's a major factor. So that's the next tenet. And then the tenet after that is about talking about reflecting all the senses. It talks about how do we leverage all the emotional connection, all the emotional touch points with consumers, and you know, how do we ensure that we're connecting across all of the sensory? Because, you know, for sure visual is important, but the smell, you know, you go to a retail store and they have a special smell of fragrance, you remember that smell even after you've left the store. Or the smell of you know, your mother cooking a pie or you know, a turkey. I mean, those smells stay with us and they create emotional images in our mind that are very powerful. So we'll talk about those things in the next two tenets. It'll be fun.
I'm excited. When does your book officially launch?
It just launched, so you can go to
Wow.
Amazon.com or Indigo or you know, Barnes and Noble. You name the, it's there. You can download the, you can buy, purchase the Kindle version, the soft cover, and obviously the hard cover.
Beautiful. Well, I can't wait for it to be on my shelf here
There
soon.
you go. Good.
Do you have any
Well,
last minute things to say before we say goodbye today? The time went by so fast.
yeah, just remember that we're human beings. A lot of how we react to events are emotionally driven, that being able to speak and have empathy for those emotions is critical as a brand, as an organization, as a human being. And with the growth of technology, we're becoming less empathetic. And so regaining our roots as humans and having empathy for our fellow citizens and understanding what they're going through and their needs, emotional needs, is really important. More important today than ever before. Mental illness is on the rise. It's driven by loneliness. We did a major study on that. And so we're going to see more and more of that mental illness being an issue, and how brands tackle that will be paramount.
Thank you so much for taking time on your day off to join me today and talk about this stuff. Such a pleasure.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, and to our audience, if ChatGPT is your best friend, I suggest you put your phone down and get the heck outside. Create that story, make that sale, connect. I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. You just heard from JP. Until next time. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.